Welcome, everyone, to the best episode of the Infertility Feelings podcast that we have ever done.
The amount of times we've started this podcast is, this is going on 8. So, but it's good.
Today we are talking about infertility and being type A. What do we mean by that? I would say, you could say type A, you could say, what would be the Enneagram number that goes along with being type A, Jesse?
Thank you. Finally.
Finally someone
asks you an Enneagram question. It would be type 1s.
Yes.
Type 3s.
Yes.
Type 8s.
Okay.
A lot of like perfectionism, a lot of like you work hard and it always pays off.
Right.
Kind of like mindset. Type A is like that too. And we just have a lot of people in our process groups that talk about this.
Yeah.
Talk about this thing of being type A and meeting infertility is the first time that they can't work hard enough or be perfect enough to have it happen.
Absolutely. I think there's a total reality that is very difficult to embrace when you've lived your whole life crushing goals.
Yes.
My parents wanted me to get these grades in school, so I crushed that goal.
Yeah.
I wanted to make my university soccer team, so I crushed that goal. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get this job by this age, and I crushed that goal. And how did I do it? I worked hard, I studied, I figured out what I needed to do. And then you get to infertility and you're like, okay, I want to grow my family. And then boom.
But it's literally like who you are.
Yeah.
It's like you're like.
And I don't mean that in like a negative way.
No.
Like I crush those goals. It's almost what you love about yourself.
Yes.
And what is like your DNA.
Well, you know? I feel like it's the script that got you there.
Yeah.
How do you get the job? You work hard. You show up on time. You give a lot of energy to it. And you're perfect at it, quote unquote. And you get the job or you get the grade or you whatever. It's like this script that you've had your whole life and this like way of doing things your whole life hits infertility. And it's like, uh-oh, I work hard. I'm perfect at it. I crush it. I'm do all my things perfectly, all my ducks in a row. And then it still doesn't work. And it's really a sense of like crushing crushing and like groundlessness, I would say.
Yeah.
Of like, this is the way I've done it in the past. And now I'm doing it this way and it doesn't work.
Yeah. So infertility and type A, what does it feel like and what can we do about it?
Welcome back to the Infertility Feelings Podcast, your place to process, cry, and laugh about infertility. We are so happy to have you here and we really hope you enjoy today's conversation. So I would say in our relationship, Doug, you are more of this, which is funny because you are a 6 on the Enneagram.
That's true.
But, and I would say that every number probably has some sort of this, but I think some feel it deeper than others.
Yeah.
And this is not an Enneagram podcast, so Jesse, stop. we have that in our other podcast episodes. Is you would be more of this type of personality.
Yeah, I am more type A, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, and I am more type B, which I didn't really even know was a thing, but it is a thing to be type B. And what would you say it feels like to, because it's so funny looking back at your life, you really have like achieved, like you've had the goal and you achieve it. You get the job and it just happens. Like, what does it feel like? What does it feel like to be experiencing something like this, having this type of personality, super ambitious, perfectionist, you work hard, you get it done, and then you meet, say, infertility.
Yeah, I think it's really difficult. I think a couple of thoughts immediately come to my mind. One, it hurts horribly bad because you hate losing and you hate adversity that feels like you can't overcome it. You know, there's lots of hills to climb in life and there's lots of things to overcome and difficulties. But in my life, I've been able to overcome a ton of them, right? And that was just because my personality type was, oh my gosh, it's really hard to figure out how to pass this class or really hard to figure out how to get this job or whatever. And I did it though. I figured it out because I fell back on my resources of all these things that are part of my personality. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then when you get to something like infertility, it feels like the hill is insurmountable. You can't climb it because you're doing everything that you can do. So I think a couple of things. One, it's really hard to hit something so big like that, a hill that's that big.
Yeah.
But then I think it, for me, it created two things. One, I became frantic about doing everything that we could do. which created a major stress and anxiety, right? Of like, we got to get all this stuff done and we'll go to all the doctor's appointments, throw everything at it. But then it also at the same time made me want to give up because it was like, well, let's go do something that we can accomplish because this feels like it's impossible to accomplish. Is there any other option or any other thing that we can do that feels doable? Because this one's too big, you know?
That you can almost control. Like,
yeah.
You controlled it over here and it didn't work. And it's like, oh, don't know if I like that. Let's go to some place that I can have control.
Yes, exactly.
Which is so hilarious.
Because there's no option. Yeah.
I can see in the, you know, map of our lives, our family, how that didn't work.
Yes.
Very well.
I think when you are type A, it hurts really bad to hit infertility.
I would say that sometimes it's probably the first time you've hit something like that.
It could be, yeah.
In your life, you've had a lot of things, you've crushed a lot of things, you've done it, you've worked hard, do it, and it happens. And it's like, when you meet this, you could be all those things, all that thing. See, I would think that you would say that you saw the hill, and you would, a type A kind of personality or that kind of mindset, would feel like ready to crush it.
I think it's a combination of that, of going, I'm going to crush it. But I think because of my type A personality and just being like that too as well, is I go, well, we can't figure it out. Let's just do something else. That to me was a workaround in terms of like crushing it, you know, where you're like, that's impossible. Let's go do this. The almost the ambition and decisiveness made me think that's, okay, that didn't work. Move on. What's next?
Right.
You know, and I almost feel like if I had more patience, more like, let's just take it as, you know, take things as they come.
Right.
I would have sat with things longer, but being more like that type A personality, I think you want to get stuff, you want to crush it or move on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
It's a crush it or move to what's next.
Right. Would you say having a personality like this, and I can just attest from being with so many people in our groups that feel this way, is the sense of failure is deeper, where it's like, I do it, I crush it, and it works out. And like the feeling, not that I didn't feel like I was a failure too, but I don't feel like I really went inward towards myself and attacked myself.
Yeah.
Maybe I judge myself on my emotions of like, why am I so sad? And it's like, oh my gosh, why are you so sad? But I feel like for me, it was more that route. And I feel like for a lot of people with this type of personality, it's, the failure is just so, because deeper.
Yeah, I think this is part of a larger conversation that hopefully this doesn't get too crazy. Not that any of our conversations can ever get too crazy.
Right.
Whoa, radical on the podcast.
Whoa.
No. I think it's part of like a bigger conversation that I think people who are maybe like type A or Enneagram 3 or 8, whatever you want to call it.
2, 3, two, 8.
2?
No, I'm sorry. 1.
1.
3. 8.
1, 3, 8. Yeah, people who are kind of like that, I think at times they attach their success to their efforts.
Yes.
And their efforts are the same thing as their success. So it almost becomes one in the same, where it's like, well, wow, you did such a wonderful job throughout university or something. You were looking, you were on the team, you were acing your classes, and you were leading this, you know, this group or whatever. And people go, that's because it was my efforts. Like my efforts got me there. And it's not like, oh, I'm so grateful that I have all this and I did all of this. And wow, my effort really got me there. It's one and the same almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The accomplishment is the effort. And then if you put in the effort but don't get the accomplishment, it almost starts to make you doubt yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Where it's like, oh, I'm not good enough. My effort wasn't good enough.
Yes.
I did something wrong. I failed. And then you get guilt and shame. I think it's possible with someone who's a type A personality who, when they hit infertility, what's making it so difficult is, yes, of course, the reality that you're struggling.
It's horrible, yeah.
And you don't have what you want. Yeah. But also, I think there's an additional hit to it that could make you doubt who you are as a person.
Yeah.
That I don't know how to get stuff done. And maybe it's possible that you're quicker to go, it's my fault, I'm not doing enough. Or what did I not do in the past? Why didn't I prepare for this? Why didn't I, whether it's like go as, you know, as extreme as freezing my eggs when I was younger, or why didn't I look into it when I was younger?
Right. And so I could have crushed it better.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why I think it's a unique pain for someone to be that type of personality and go through infertility is it's possible that you're really quick to judge yourself.
Yeah.
You know? And so then you're having to overcome two of those things.
Right. Right. And I feel like with people with personality that I have been around that have been experiencing infertility, it's like even when they failed in the past, it was an opportunity to crush it better. It was an opportunity to be like, okay, that didn't work, but I'll just work harder and it will like be better. And do you feel like I feel like it's almost a script. It's a script of how you live your life. It's a script of how you get things done. It's just, and it's a really great quality to like work really hard to get what you want. That's great.
Yes.
You know, like that's really awesome. That's something that is admirable, you know, to. Yeah.
And it's really useful.
And it's really useful, especially when you're trying to like do things and get jobs and go to school and all those kind of things, get married even like, you know, all that. It's just, and I feel like, I observe people that are in our group, especially and with you, is when it didn't work, it was a big sense of groundlessness.
Yeah.
Because you could always go back on your hard work. You could, even if it failed in college or whatever, it failed. It was like, okay, but I have my thing is like, I'll just build back up. I'll just like, to quote the greatest basketball player of all time, in my opinion, Kobe Bryant, which is Kobe Bryant Day as we're recording this podcast. He said, build back up. It's like, you'll just build back up. So even failures, you had a script of what you could do.
Yep.
And with something like this, it's a sense of like groundlessness. And then what you were saying, turning on yourself, what did you do wrong? You must have not worked hard enough. You must have not crushed it enough. And that's what's so hard with infertility is you can do all those things perfectly and it still doesn't
totally
work and it still doesn't work out. And it's like all those people I almost like in our groups and just people that are like this, I almost want to put in a room and be like, you did enough. Like, I'm sure you did enough. If you already are a person that like crushes it and is ambitious and, you know, does these kind of sort of things really well. And like, it's like, you did enough. It's almost like seeing like a softer side to it. Like you've done enough.
Yeah.
You did enough. You worked hard enough because they just so go quickly to failure.
Right. Jesse, that's brilliant. You're brilliant. There is.
Wait. Let me just breathe just
take
that
it in.
Did you like how I put Kobe in there?
I know. You know?
It is Kobe Bryant Day today.
I know. 3 years ago, he passed away. Gosh, it's horrible.
Yep.
I do think you're right. There is a sense of groundlessness. I think that's genius. Like, I think that that idea is right.
Yeah.
That it's groundless because maybe I would say like the foundation has dropped out because the foundation has been forever.
I work hard.
These
I get
skill
it.
Sets that you fall back on to get things done. And then that groundlessness makes you wonder who you should blame or where should the guilt go? Where should the shame go? Who messed up? Why, you know? And I think if you're that type of personality, it's real easy for it to fall on you. I didn't do enough. I didn't do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's painful. And it, I mean, we'll get into this, but it's just not true. It's just not true. It's not true that it's your fault.
Yeah.
If you're that type of personality, I'm sure you've gone over and above probably in every category. It's just infertility is a different type of thing. We'll talk about that. Yeah. But it's a different type
unique.
Of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the feelings have to be dealt with and honored.
Yeah.
And it has to be confronted, you know? I would say for me in my own life.
I was going to say, when in this journey for you was it like, uh-oh, the script doesn't work? Because we moved particularly fast with you in the driver's seat. I would say you were in the driver's seat. Like you were like, okay, this happened. This was really sad. What's next? You know, what are we going to do next? So like, do you have moments that you can think of where you were like that feeling of groundlessness, like, uh-oh, this script?
Yeah, I think everyone feels it at different times. I felt it throughout our time in infertility, but then also we moved on and we did some foster care and adoption stuff. And there was a lot of difficulties and, you know, it was mirrored the process. A lot of like, this is going to work. And then it didn't work.
Right.
And then I'm trying everything I can do and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Or just fell through and things weren't lined up right. And so I think throughout those years, there was a gradual letting go of, oh, there are things in life that I can't overcome. I can't just manipulate and crush in my mind vice. That was a difficult lesson to learn. And I still lean to be more like that. I'm like, let's crush this thing, or we'll solve this problem.
Right.
And even as you're listening to it, if you are truly type A, you might be like, no, you can always crush it. And I'm not trying to tell you that it's not like that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying from my own perspective and my life, I have found that there's wisdom in saying some things you have to submit to the process. And there's grief and failure, and it's unavoidable. Absolutely unavoidable. There's things you can't crush. That was such a hard lesson for me to learn, at least in my life. And I'm not trying to make anyone think anything. I'm just saying I came to the conclusion that a lot of things I can use my skill sets on, but a few things I can't. And that is really painful.
That was good, Doug.
Thank you.
Good job. I can tell that you're growing. It is true, though. I mean, it's so funny. I can think of a particular memory where I feel like you...
It's almost like this.
Whoa.
I, for my entire life, have wanted to sleep on the right side of the bed.
Oh, my gosh.
And you have never wanted to not sleep on the right side of the bed. It always has made more sense for me to sleep on the right side of the bed. And there's nothing that none of my type A personality could convince you that that is a better idea for me to sleep there. And you have always chosen to sleep on the right side.
Any creatures of habits out there, that is what makes me feel safe in my world. You're saying because my dresser is on your side.
It doesn't make sense. It literally, you look at our room, it doesn't make sense. You're sleeping on my side. That's my side. But it doesn't make sense.
I wouldn't sleep for 800 years. I'm just letting you know that.
So that's a perfect example of I've had to grieve and die to that and allow and understand that that's unchangeable.
Do we need a podcast of what it's like to be married or being a partner with someone who's type A? That's what we need. It'll just be me, myself.
I mean, I have almost made PowerPoint slides to convince you why this would make sense.
Oh,
but there's some things you just gotta
creature of habit. I got my place on the couch. I'm weird. I'm totally weird. I could sit anywhere at the dining room table, anywhere, but on the couch.
You know how enlightened Jesse. Yeah. That I will
give you that. I will submit. But even when we lead our groups.
I love that about you though. You are a creature of habit. I love it. It's reliable. Yeah. You are who you are. I'm not trying to change that anymore.
That's true. You haven't brought it up
I
until
will sleep
now.
Next to your nightstand and next to your dresser.
It is not my nightstand. It's your crap in there. It's because my dresser is on that side.
I will sleep next to your dresser happily. I also cut you off. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
God, at this point, I have no idea.
When you're type A, what do you do about it? Okay.
No, sorry. I want to talk about what you can do about it being a type A, but I was thinking about you. I remember there's a few moments. I'm thinking about this one particular memory at church. Mm. We had had two disrupted adoptions, infant adoptions at that point.
Yeah.
And then we were going down and trying to do this other way of adoptions.
Yeah.
And we basically got like bamboozled kind of again, but we didn't have, we weren't connected to them very much, and you pulled me out of church. You were on the phone with someone.
Yeah.
Or I don't know who you're talking to, like our facilitator or whatever. And you pulled me out of church. And I remember your face. I was like, oh no, Doug's given up. Like Doug's like, I'm serious. Like, because I'm not going to lie, relied on you because you were a type A. I was of course there and supportive and doing whatever I needed to do, but it was kind of like, what are we going to do next, Doug? Like, and you would kind of lead that charge. And I remember thinking, looking at your face and I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
It's over.
This doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, you finally got to like this script that I've had my whole life of doing this and the way that I crush it and ambition and all that kind of stuff doesn't work with this type of thing.
Right.
And I feel like that was a moment. And that was when we went into foster care.
Anytime I come to Jesse and go, you know what? I just feel like we got to just go where the wind takes us. Jesse's like, oh no, what happened? What's wrong?
There's no wind normally in this scenario.
Yeah, it's true though.
I remember that.
I think those moments are what we're talking about here is.
And then it's so funny because then I felt lost.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh no, you're normally like the person that like figures this out.
Yeah.
But then that was when we did a ton of reflection actually and decided to move on to foster care, which had its own other issues and hardships or whatever. But it's like, that was when we kind of moved on to that. When you kind of were like, okay, I'm relinquishing control. I can't outwork this. I can't outdo this. Right. This is too painful, too much, too out of our control. And I feel like you almost died to the fact of like, you almost surrendered a little bit.
Yeah. Which brings us exactly to this point of the podcast of saying, if that's what it feels like to be a type A personality throughout infertility, what do you do about that? What should you do with those feelings? How do you honor those feelings?
I feel like one thing I know that we're going to say, like you should do emotional work and whatever. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do feel like in our groups, there's nothing like a type A and a type A meeting for the first time.
Yeah, that's probably the best advice. Go and meet another type A
just
in the infertility world.
Start typing. Is anyone type A out there that I can just talk to and be seen? Because there is nothing like that. There's some sort of like kindred spirits. I almost see it like a star, like a ding.
Totally.
You know, when a type A that struggles with infertility and another type A that struggles with infertility, that matchup, there's kind of nothing like it.
I totally agree.
Yeah. So go find yourself another type A personality. Really.
Honestly, that's probably the best advice is if you're feeling that way, go find someone to validate those feelings who understands, who is just like you and has gone through
some
of this.
Sees the world like you.
That's all the validation you need.
There's about two or three in every single one of our process groups. Yeah. So jump on in.
Yeah, that would be a good place.
You'll find them.
What I was saying is, I think when you get to those moments of going, this is too big, I think there is some work that could be done in terms of honoring who you are as a type A person, but then understanding the reality of the situation. And that's probably, that's it to me.
Say it one more time.
Is understanding the reality of the situation, that some things in life, and this is a lesson that everyone learns differently.
I like how you said, but also honoring who you are.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that that part of you is bad.
Well, it's like understanding that. The reality of what type of situation it is. And in that reality, how can you honor your type A-ness or your Enneagram 3-ness? How can you honor that side of you or that part of your personality, yet also understand the reality of infertility? That's so hard to do, but I think you can convert some of your type A personality energy into understanding the reality of what you're going through and like almost let that be the thing you crush. Does that make sense?
I can explain further.
Okay. For me, it would be like this. I like to crush projects and get stuff done and move. I thought that I could do that with infertility, crush projects, move, get this appointment, get that appointment, boom. We'll have the squishy little baby that we can play with. You know what I mean? And have and be our own.
And Jesse can be happy and stop crying all the time.
however, after years, I realized maybe I need to have different plans or different things that I'm crushing and moving to get to. Maybe those things that I'm crushing and moving to get to are spending the appropriate time grieving, spending the appropriate time thinking. I need to crush the grieving. I need to crush the rest.
Whoa.
I need to move to make sure that we are spending enough time on our relationship. I need to prioritize my schedule and dominate the task of prioritizing our mental health. And I needed to add those things into what we were going through because the reality is that infertility is for sometimes a long process and doesn't go the way we want it to go.
Yeah.
But I still could be a type A personality as long as I had realistic, reality-based goals that I was crushing. Does that make sense? Hopefully.
Like emotional goals that you're crushing?
Yeah, like adding in emotional goals, adding in mental health, adding in breaks, rest, but then also adding in motivation and getting the appointments set.
Yeah.
But for me, I wanted to crush infertility, air quotes there, crush infertility. That wasn't reality. You can't crush infertility.
Right.
Like that's not, I mean,
it crushes you.
It crushes you. I mean, maybe you can feel like that for a period of time or something like that. But the reality is that it's too big.
Yeah.
And you got to break it down and add in a lot of good mental health, rest, you know, grieving, processing, add those in and then crush those goals that are more realistic, you know? And you can do that. I want to crush scheduling my appointments. You know what I mean? Sure, you can do that. But to say we're going to crush this whole infertility thing and be done with it.
Right.
That, I just don't know. That might not be the reality.
Right.
So how can you break it down?
Right.
That for me was a way to retain my type A personality. To honor it, to give it something that felt realistic and reasonable, mm-hmm. and still move through infertility in a successful way. Mm-hmm. We were never able to get pregnant, but I still feel like we moved through infertility in a successful way. Mm-hmm. It was able for us to move through it. I could honor who I was as a person, but it dealt with the reality that infertility can sometimes be too big.
Right. Would you say though, that like when you are crushing the emotional side of it, mm-hmm. would you say that would be the best word? Like, because I feel like I look at you and I'm like, you don't need to crush. Like, I feel like it's like you're smiling. I feel like there's like a tenderness there. I see what you're saying.
Yes,
I see what you're saying of like, that needs to be a goal of yours.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't know why the word crushed is like, I could see that kind of personality and living with someone that has this kind of personality that it's like, okay, I need to crush being emotional. Okay. I will cry Tuesday, Thursdays. And I will, you know what I mean?
When you're not a type A personality. I think it's okay it does sound like that in our heads.
Okay.
So I have done a lot of emotional work and I've gone to process groups and I've cried and I've done all that. But the way that I get there is like, all right, let's do it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, you do that.
It's a little bit like there's no other way to process this besides to dive into the emotions of it. When I'm in it, yes, it's tender and it's emotional and it's can be like overwhelming and it's emotional, right?
Okay.
But the way that I get there is, yeah, dang it. There's no other way to do this. I do need to process this. All right, screw it. Let's do it. You know what I mean? Like it sounds like that in my head, but then I invest in the emotional way.
Okay.
I don't get there through this tender, like, I think I'm ready. I mean, it can be like that a little bit, but I'm telling you from my personality type, at least me, the type A typeness of me goes, yeah, that would be good. I do need to schedule in some time to really process. All right. It's in the schedule, but it's Google Calendar. All right. It's coming up.
It's coming into process.
But then
when I
get there, that's the time that I go, okay, let's be slow, tender, emotional. Is that making sense? But I get there through that other way.
That completely makes sense. And I don't understand. No, I see what you're saying. But in my mind, I'm just so the opposite. Like I come in so tender, like a raw nerve of like,
right.
And that gets me there. I know that I need emotional work because of how I'm doing.
Right.
And how I'm feeling and how I'm like, oh, I need to think about this. And it's led through emotions instead of, I feel like what you're saying, your brain.
Yeah, for me, it's like sometimes I will do an intellectual inventory of how I'm doing. And I go, I am too stressed. I'm running from meeting to meeting. I'm not drinking enough, like little things. I'm not drinking enough water. I'm agitated with people. What's going on? Oh, crap, I'm too busy. Or I'm really just really bummed by the infertility stuff. I really just wish we could get pregnant.
Yeah,
that's really overwhelming me. What do I do? I need to sit and process this a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. When can I do that? Now it's in.
Right.
I don't know.
It totally makes sense.
Not everyone is like that. I'm not even saying you should be like that. And you might be type A and not be like that.
Right.
All I can speak of is from my own perspective and experience.
I think I would.
I think more people, people are like that than I think.
Knowing a lot of type A personalities and listening to a lot of type A personalities, I feel like even when they join our process groups, it was like, I knew this was something that was going to be good for me.
Yeah.
You know, but they probably got it there. The way you did.
Yes.
And like, now it's time for me. Cause I just, as you were talking in the beginning, I was missing some sort of like tenderness with the word crush it emotionally.
Yeah.
Like it felt like it's like, I need to crush it emotionally. And like, kind of like a Chris Traeger where it's like, I'm going to crush it emotionally and it's going to be great. And we're going to cry together and this is my time.
From Parks and Rec.
From Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
And it's like, but even though he's like, so happy.
He's so happy.
But like, but the way that you were kind of saying it, and I just wanted, I like how you said, like, it's the way that we get there.
Yeah.
But once you're there, the tenderness needs to come instead of just thinking, I'm here. I also need to crush this emotion. I need to crush this grieving.
Yeah. Cause that wouldn't work. If you were like, all right, let's get this crying over with. Let's just get it out of the way. It's like that. You do have to have a moment where you enter into it.
Yeah.
But the motivation to enter into it probably will come from a more type A looking situation.
Right.
You know, it can, it can. I'm not saying it will, but it can.
I see what you're saying. I guess.
That's again, the difficulty in why we did this podcast is being that type of personality. It's like, oh, that stuff is, if you're type A, sometimes you don't like to do that kind of stuff. It's like, let's move, let's go, let's build, let's accomplish. It feels weird to accomplish grieving.
Yeah.
But that's the lesson I'm trying to learn. And maybe all of us type A's, if you're like me, can learn it together. That grieving, tenderness, slowness, that is something that we can accomplish.
Right.
We have to enter into it. But let's all have that goal together. We'll enter into it together. Adding that is going to make it could lead to a greater sense of well-being. If we're adding those goals in, you know?
Right. And I just want to say to all the type A people and people that are struggling with infertility that I know is this is not your fault.
Yeah, no.
If the doctor told you, go home and do a headstand for 24 hours a day for 7 days, you would do it.
Yeah.
Like you would do it. You are already doing.
You would crush that.
You would crush it. You would be like, God, thank God.
You would
goal.
Do it for 25 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And all the type B's would be like, why are you doing it for more time? But like, I just feel like it's just not your fault. And the more that you can like remove yourself from like, is the outcome is good? It's because I did it good.
Right.
If the outcome is bad, it's because I'm bad. The more you can like, or did it wrong or something like that. The more that you can remove all that and just, and honor. I love the word honor.
Yeah.
Honor your personality. Honor that this is something that you are good at and can handle a lot. I feel like these people can handle a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like you can handle a lot. And it's like honor that, but then also don't have it tied to your worth.
Yeah.
And that's where it is. It's like, if it fails, now I am a failure. And it's like, it is not your fault. You can't outrun, outdo, outwork, out accomplish this thing sometimes, infertility sometimes.
And that's, I think it's directly tied to understanding the reality of infertility. Infertility is not like those other things.
Yes.
There
that's
are
good.
Things that you can crush and you
there
can
there are things like that.
Yes. And you can and you don't want to attach too much of your self-worth to crushing those things.
Right.
But you can say, like, hey, I really did a hard work. Okay, I got it. You know? Infertility is not like that. It's just not like that. Start to understand that. For me,
I feel like we need to sit in that for a second.
How did I manage my feelings of being like that in infertility? It was the number one thing was to go, infertility is not like this. It's just not like this. And that sucked. That was a hard thing.
I feel like I just want to like sit in that. Infertility is not like this. The adoption world cannot be like this. Foster care cannot be like this. Surrogacy cannot be like this. It's just... Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like nothing else. But the biggest thing that I feel like I want to say is it's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
What's that part of Good Will Hunting?
Oh God, no idea. Give me Parks and Rec like all day. Good Will Hunting, none.
You know,
zero.
When Robin Williams is giving Matt Damon therapy and he starts saying, it's not your fault.
Yes.
And then he just keeps saying it. That's what we all need.
Yes. Someone saying, screaming at us, it's not our fault.
And then Matt Damon just stop. No, yeah. He starts crying.
Yes.
That part's so good.
Yeah. Go
that
watch that.
So good.
Anyone that's type A, go watch that and just have
there you go.
Tears. just that scene. Google it. YouTube that. But yeah, and to watch what your worth is attached to.
Yeah.
Because if it is attached to only your work worth ethic or only your crushability. It's like infertility might humble you, but but infertility is not like that. It's not like getting a job. It's not like going to college. It's not like getting the good grades. It's not like all that. It's its own unique beast. And I would just want to encourage you type A's to honor that part of you.
Honor those feelings.
Honor those feelings. Honor that your personality, that you can do that and handle a lot with also not attaching your worth to the outcome.
Yep. And like anyone who deals with infertility, I'm so sorry. Infertility sucks.
Thank you for listening to the Infertility Feelings Podcast, a show produced by the nonprofit Uniquely Knitted. This is your place to process, cry, and laugh about infertility. We are so grateful to all of our wonderful donors who support this work. If you would like to learn more about how we serve the community, and support the work of Uniquely Knitted, we encourage you to check us out at uniquelyknitted.org. If you enjoy this podcast and would like more people to hear it, please give us a rating and a comment in Apple Podcasts. This is the best way for more people to hear these conversations. If you need to talk to someone about your feelings, please reach out to us. We are here to help you. If you would like to learn more about our unique process groups, please follow the link in our show notes. See you guys next week.